Last week, we talked about nourishing our souls. Remember, we talked about being a waking dreamer and how we really wanted to do that. It furthers our spiritual journey to be able to nourish our souls. Well, I wanted to talk more today about nourishing our souls. When we talked about being a waking dreamer, we wanted to remember that we are unlimited. We want to remember that we live in the present moment. And then in connecting and having those two awarenesses, then we can be nourishing our souls. Today's topic is soul gifts. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who, as you know, is kind of the pioneer in death and dying, wrote a book by that name. And she said something. She said, "One of the most important relationships in your life is with your soul." That was very interesting. When we think about being in relationship with other people, maybe our spouses, our partners, our children, or, you know, whoever it is, anybody who's important to us, we invest ourselves. We invest our time, we invest our love, we invest our resources to nourish that relationship, right? If we want it to be healthy and grow, we do. So if we want to nourish our soul, if this relationship with our soul is the most important thing in our life, I mean, I accept that. I think that that's true. Then how can we invest in ourselves? What can we do? What are soul gifts that we talk about? Kubler-Ross also said, "Every life circumstance can nourish the soul." And she also said, "Everything, even tragedy, is a gift in disguise." Let me say those again. First one is every life circumstance can nourish the soul. And the second is everything, even tragedy, is a gift in disguise. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, when I'm thinking about soul gifts, often tragedy is not something that comes to mind. You know? I don't want gifts that make me sad. I don't think I do anyway. You know, so this whole idea just, oh. I think that clearly we need a way of looking at that differently. We need a way to be able to take that idea that she says that every circumstance can nourish our soul. How can we look at that differently? How can we think about that differently so that we might be able to get a gift out of it? Well, in Unity, we don't have a lot of dogma, as we said in our new member statements here, but we do have five basic principles. And the first two we talked about last week. The first is there is just one power, God. And the second principle is that we are offspring of that creator, and we have divinity within us as offspring. The third principle, though, I think is what can help us today. And the third principle is what we call the law of mind action. Unity is one of a number of new thought movements, churches, and as such, we put a lot of emphasis on what we think, a whole lot of emphasis. With this law of mind action, we say that we create our lives by our thinking. Now, there are people who will argue with me when I say that. Oh, no. What about the cancer? Or what about the downsizing I just experienced? I wasn't thinking about that. So many of the accidents, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, the things that just seem to appear, how can we say that it was our thinking that caused that? We also say thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. But again, I wasn't thinking about cancer. I wasn't thinking about a tornado. I wasn't thinking about my partner leaving me. Those things didn't occur to us. How can we say that this is true then? Well, maybe we're not considering the law correctly. If we think that we are causing the effect by our thinking, that can cause the misunderstanding. That can cause the misperception. Now, sometimes our thinking does create experience. But sometimes when these things come along that seem to be completely out of our control, perhaps we didn't cause it by our thinking, but we can create our experience of that event by our thinking. So it's just a little bit of a shift on the emphasis. What if we consider that it is how we think about life's events? Before I thought of becoming a minister, before that ever entered my mind, I was going to be working in the psychology field. One of my classes, or several of them actually, talked about actions and reactions. And makes sense, you know? Something happens, an action, and then we have a reaction to it. Something happens that happens and we get angry, the reaction. Something happens and we get sad and we cry. Something happens and we think it's funny and we laugh. So there's the action and the reaction, and it seems like it is so fast it just happens and it's all one, you know, boom, boom. But that's not really how it works. Not really. What happens really is there's the action, and then between that and that reaction, there is what I call a filter. And the filter is all of our beliefs, all of our values go through. So our senses bring in this experience, it comes through our filter, and then our reaction is a reaction based on what that filter says. Okay, makes sense? Think about one event happening, and you have three or four different people standing there watching the same event, and they could have different reactions based on their own experience. I've been in social settings where somebody will walk up to the group, and I'm excited to see him. Hi, good to see you. And then after the person walks away, two other people in the group said, can you believe me? You know, how dare she come up here to this group? What? So there was a whole different filter that was happening for some of these other people, and it's not just social interactions. We have experiences that frame our filters. I was a part of a class that they said that we were almost like joined at the hip. You know, we did everything. We got along so well, my ministerial class. Lee was one of those members. And we didn't even disagree as a class until close to the end of our time there, and we had to decide. We were putting together our graduation and ordination ceremonies, or giving input into it. We had to decide what color robe we wanted to wear. Okay, you know, you would think all these 28 other people, 27 other people that I've been hanging out with, we all get along, we know each other so intimately, you know, they're closer even than some of my relatives. Who comes to the what color robe? We couldn't agree. Most of us seem to want to wear white robes, but there were a few holdouts that were like, no, I can't wear a white robe. So we went into a process of discernment, and what came out of that, it was just beautiful, and it gave goosebumps to me and several others. But what the awareness that came out of that was that at least two other people were people of color, and the white robe reminded them of the Klan. You know? So once they recognized that's what was happening, then we were able to come to agreement. We did wear white robes, and it was fine. That filter, though, I don't want you to underestimate the power of that filter. It's very, very powerful. But this is where unity's third principle, this law of mind action, is such a valuable tool. Because this is where we can stop and look at what we're thinking. What is it that's causing? Here's the reaction. Here's the action. Here's the reaction. I don't like the reaction. Now I have a chance to look at it a little bit. What am I thinking? Knowing that this filter is making us, making meaning of the event, then I think that not only can we explore this, but we can also realize that we have the opportunity to choose if we want to be a victim or if we want to see this as an opportunity, even in the tragedy. In this process, I want to emphasize something else, though, too. I don't want to downplay or underestimate or undervalue the power of our feelings, the power of our emotion. They are very real. They are very normal. And so when something happens, that's not what is at question in this filter. When we have an extreme loss, you know, someone very close to us passes away, we are going to feel sad. And that's not something that we're trying to change. What we are trying to change is what we make that mean. That loss, what do we make it mean? So we can go into victim mode. We can say, I'll never be happy again. And we might feel that way for a while. But if we stay in that victim, that lack place, we're going to be unhappy for a long time. The other is we can see victim or seeing something as an opportunity. And we know that something new is possible. It's a new opportunity. Something new can come. I've often said when I do prayer chaplain training, we say that if this is change, if my hand is change, on one side there is a loss of what was, and on the other side is the new, whatever's coming. So change in itself isn't bad. It happens. It's going to happen. There is a loss and there is a newness. And so where are we going to put our emphasis? How are we going to see this? Honor your feelings. Know that they're very valid, and takes time to work through those. But we also can always have that mindset of, what do I want to do with that? And I think there is good news. Because I think as human beings, we are kind of hardwired to love to solve puzzles. We like to solve things. In the newspapers, there are certainly crossword puzzles. I like Sudoku, you know. And then there are those ones with the letters, that just a whole matrix of letters, and you're supposed to find the words. You know, sometimes they're upside down, they're diagonal, they're, you know. You find the words. We like to do that, don't we? There have been apps. I had one on my phone for a while that was... Actually, I had it on my iPad because I could see. It was finding hidden objects in different rooms. I see somebody had done that one. And so at first glance, you see this room and it's all cluttered. There's all kinds of stuff. But then, knowing that I'm looking for something in particular, I begin to look more closely. I really begin to look hard for whatever it is that I'm trying to find, and I find it. Well, we can do that. Because we are kind of hardwired that way, we can begin to look for the gifts. We can begin to look in those situations for what good can come out of this. I'd like for you for a moment to think of something that was very challenging in your life. Just kind of think about that for a second. And then think about something good that came from that experience. Is that hard or easy? This is, you can tell me. It's hard? What did you say? It's kind of hard? Yes. It takes some digging. It takes some looking. And sometimes finding things doesn't happen until a little later. You know, it takes a little bit of distance from the event sometimes. When I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2010, and that was shocking, absolutely shocking. And I went through a whole thing with that, you know, trying to, you know, did I cause this? Thinking, you know, a bunch of stuff. But some amazing gifts have come out of that experience. Probably the first thing that I think of when I think of it is just, I was overwhelmed by the love and the support that came from my friends and family. You know, and they supported me through that whole process. It was wonderful. I had a chance to really dig deep and find out what was important to me. And I realized life is very important to me. And I was going to be here and I was going to live life as fully as I possibly could. And another benefit that came out of it was I am much more mindful now of what I am putting in my body and on my body. You know, as, I want to be more mindful of taking care of my health. So even with the C word, even with cancer, there can be gifts if you look for them. Looking for gifts in every situation is an attitude shift. It is looking at that filter that we put everything to. It really kind of anchors, I think, our third basic principle, the law of mind action. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. Knowing that things happen, events happen, how we think about it is going to increase what we get. If I'm thinking about what good is going to come out of this, if I'm thinking about, I know there are blessings here if I can just find them, that kind of attitude will bring more. It will bring more. So even in the difficult situations, that third basic principle serves us, and it serves us well. We can get away from that victim, that lack mentality, and move toward the positive, powerful attitudes. When we think about soul gifts, we remember what Kubler-Ross said: every life circumstance can nourish the soul. Now we can see how that can happen. It is our choice and how we view it, what we make it mean, and how we can look at good things that can come out of that. Everything, even tragedy, is a gift in disguise, and we can make it so. Let's take a moment now, as we do each week, to practice some of this. I ask you to gently close your outer eyes, if you haven't already, to allow yourself, your body, to become comfortable. And we relax. Often we take our attention away from all of the outer and bring it to the inner sacred space by focusing on our breathing, by just putting all of our attention on the breath as it comes into our bodies, as it leaves. As we are focusing on the breathing, we still are mildly aware of the seat we're sitting on. We are aware of the sounds in the room. But we find most of our attention is focused within. So allow your attention now to follow the breath in on your next inhale. Imagine that your attention moves into your trunk, moves into your heart space. From this place, from this centered heart space, we can be aware of how our bodies are feeling. We might be aware of tension somewhere, and we can use that heart-centered awareness to think about relaxation, to relax that part of our bodies, to still, to allow ourselves to be open, receptive, still. Many of us are so busy in our daily lives that we forget to nourish ourselves with these quiet times. For it is in the quiet that we have an opportunity to just soak up this, all that Spirit has for us. As we are still, we often become aware of a sense of safety, a beautiful sense of peace. And here today in this moment, we know there is no place we need to be. There is no thing that we need to be doing other than just being still right now. As we talked about last week with the waking dreamer, centered in that heart space, we know that we are connected, we are at one with that power, that Christ presence within. We are alive, fully present here and now. And we begin to have a sense that we have control over our lives, our experience of life's events. We can move through life peacefully, regardless of outer circumstances. And we choose to do that. As we are focused here, open, receptive, quiet, we are in alignment with that peace. We radiate that peace outwardly. We know that we have an opportunity to move through life with love, as love. Because in times like this, we connect with that inner heart space, that inner divinity. Knowing that God is love and that we are God's offspring, we know that we are love in expression. And it manifests and expresses beautifully when we take the time to feel it and let it grow. Life can deliver some very challenging situations and times. And yet we know we have this power, we have this connection that will safely navigate us through that difficulty. And in fact, will navigate us to higher and better things. And it is that trust that Jesus called faith. According to your faith, it is done. As we know and as we practice going within, choosing our response, deciding that we're going to look for opportunities and look for blessings, we can know that that's what Jesus called trust. That's what Jesus called faith. And it is that attitude that will bring much richness to our life. And so here, today, now, we experience this oneness once again. And as we do each week, we take a few moments in silence to experience that, to hold within that beautiful silence a willingness to be all that we can be, to claim soul gifts, to be able to express peace and love in the world throughout all situations. We are grateful for this connection, and we feel it, experience it in the silence. We are reminded in Scripture that we are so loved. Jesus talked often about how much our Creator loves each and every one of His offspring. And it is with that knowledge of that great love that we then can be receptive, can be open, can be willing, knowing and trusting that God is bigger and better than any circumstance in life. We can be grateful for this awareness, grateful for this connection, and grateful that we have an opportunity to begin to be faithful, to be trusting, to be optimistic. Our relationship with our soul can be nourished. We can use every circumstance, every event in our lives to nourish it, to be a soul gift. We choose today to do that. We are grateful for God, being created by God, being aware that we have this oneness. We are grateful for all of the outer manifestations of substance that we have in our lives. We are grateful for what is coming. We hold on to our gratitude as we conclude this time of contemplation. And with gratitude, we come together to together say our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.